Amen. Thank you very much. And thank you for allowing me to come here and share with you. I'm not here alone. I'm here with my wife, Amanda. we're really excited to be able to be here this morning. It's lovely to... we've just moved to Letchworth, so it's really lovely to be able to come here and to enjoy a different church, a different fellowship. So thank you. We're going to start by reading from God's Word. So it will come up on the screen. You're also very welcome if you like to use an app on your phone, or you've got your Bible with you. You are very welcome to follow along. It's Luke chapter 24, and it says on the screen, we're reading verses 36 to 52. I'm going to say I did it on purpose. I missed out the last verse, but I didn't. It was an accident. We're going to go to verse 53, which is the end of Luke's gospel. Join with me as we read together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they'd seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Verse 53 says, "And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." Amen. In June 2001, on a small farm in Staffordshire, England, a 10-year-old girl named Laura Buxton was celebrating her grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. At one point, urged by her grandfather, Buxton wrote a note, "Please return to Laura Buxton," along with her address on a small card. And she attached it to this gold balloon. If we could just pop up the next slide. It's a very exciting slide. There we go. And she released it into the sky. As the balloon rose high above the party and danced in the wind, Buxton's grandfather patted her on the back. "Maybe if you're lucky," he said, "it won't get stuck in a tree somewhere." 2 days later, and 140 miles away, a farmer was checking on his cattle in a field, and he came across a deflated balloon in his neighbour's hedge. He was about to discard it as rubbish when he noticed the note. His neighbours had a daughter named Laura, so he passed it along to them. The girl the farmer gave the balloon to was also named Laura Buxton. And she was also just shy of 10 years old. But she was an entirely different girl. When she received the balloon, she wrote a letter to the Laura Buxton who had sent it, explaining that she was also Laura Buxton. After some ensuing confusion, the two planned to meet up. The two Laura Buxtons not only shared the same name, they were nearly the exact same age, they were the same height, they had brown pigtails and blue eyes, and were in year five in primary school. They both had three-year-old female black Labradors, grey rabbits, and guinea pigs with identical markings. Upon meeting, they unintentionally chose to wear identical outfits, a pink sweater and jeans. You couldn't make it up, could you? In fact, you wouldn't make it up. It's not something that you would make up. And in fact, the story that we've just heard from this morning, you wouldn't make it up. You certainly wouldn't give your life up for a lie that their friend and rabbi, who the disciples had walked with for 3 years, had died, come back to life again. That they talked together, they ate together, and then he left. And then to write it all down, to share the story, to get that message out there as far and wide as they possibly could. Surely they'd be exposed as frauds. I mean, we've got thousands of documents of the original scriptures of Luke's gospel, because the disciples were so keen to get that message out far and wide. But the good news spread. The good news spread far and wide. And 2,000 years later, that same story has been passed on to us. That same truth that we live with today. God came to earth. Unbelievable, but true. You couldn't make it up. However, it's one thing to know the stories of Jesus. It's one thing to know the Gospel of Luke and everything that happened. It's another thing to be confronted by the risen Jesus himself. It's another thing to be in the presence of Jesus and to walk with him, to really walk with him. In Luke 24, we find the disciples hiding behind locked doors. That says a lot about the disciples, doesn't it, at this point? You know, they'd heard reports from the women, they'd been to the tomb, and they'd said that the tomb is empty. They'd heard from the two on the road to Emmaus, who'd met with Jesus and broken bread with Jesus. But still, the disciples are full of doubt, fear, and confusion. I wonder, sometimes, are you full of doubt, fear and confusion? I know I am. I know I go through life and there are moments where I just doubt. I'm just not sure. I have those moments of confusion. Something happens and it shakes me, it rocks me. I wonder if we all have those moments. Then suddenly Jesus stands among them. He doesn't give them a lecture, but he gives them an examination. In these verses, Jesus asks three silent questions that I want us to explore, because I think they're relevant for all of us in this room today. Whether you're a skeptic, a new believer, or whether you've been a Christian for many years, there are three questions I want us to look at. They're going to come up on the screen. Have you walked with me? Jesus asks. Have you really walked with me? Do you believe in me? And are you responding to me? We're going to unpack that and see how the disciples answered those three silent questions that Jesus asks in this passage. So firstly, have you walked with Jesus? Have you walked with Jesus? Verses 36 to 43. A number of years ago, I had the pleasure of going to Israel And I clearly remember my favorite part of going to Israel was Jerusalem. And I clearly remember walking through the streets of Jerusalem thinking, these are the very stones that Jesus would have walked on. These are the very footsteps. I'm literally walking in the very footsteps that Jesus would have stepped on, these very stones. It absolutely blew me away. It was an incredible experience. I went to the Garden of Eden. I walked the Via della Rosa. I don't know if you know of the Via della Rosa, but it's the Stations of the Cross, and that you can journey through what many people think was the walk that Jesus would have taken up to his crucifixion. And my favorite station on that journey is Station 5, which is on the screen. It's Simon of Cyrene. It wasn't my favorite station because there was a slightly balding man who looked really grumpy standing by the door. Probably grumpy because his friend had taken the only chair available. It was my favorite station, however, because of the story behind it. This image that we get of Jesus struggling to the place where he's going to be crucified. And the Roman soldiers pluck one man out of the crowd of onlookers, Simon of Cyrene, and they say, well, you are going to carry the cross the rest of the way. Now, this wasn't an act of compassion on behalf of the Roman authorities. In fact, quite the opposite. They didn't want Jesus to die on the streets there. They wanted to prolong his agony for as long as possible. They wanted him to live so that he could be hung on the tree. And so Simon gets the burden of being a completely innocent man, pulled out of the crowd, and has to carry this wooden beam the rest of the way for Jesus. Now, it doesn't say this in scripture, but I imagine, and I'm relatively confident this would have happened, that as Simon walks up that path, Jesus was walking right alongside him. Because that's what Jesus does. He doesn't leave us in our pain and in our suffering and in our agony. He walks alongside us. And Jesus would have been saying to Simon, I know the pain you're going through. I understand it. I get it. I'm walking with you now. There's no doubt that I was standing in the very place Jesus stood 2,000 years before me, where Jesus lived, died, and rose again, and ascended. Zero doubt. And in the passage we've just heard from, he said to them, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. He was trying to put them into a place of zero doubt. Touch me and see. You see, this first question is about experience. Have you walked with Jesus? Have you experienced Jesus? You see, the disciples had walked with Jesus for many miles, and yet here they were terrified, as if they'd seen a ghost. See, Jesus doesn't argue theology, he argues, look, touch me and feel, see, I am the real Jesus, right here for you. Have you actually walked with me, is the silent question Jesus was asking the disciples. Have you really walked with me? Christianity is more than a religion. It's a relationship with the living Jesus, with the risen Jesus. To walk with Jesus means you've got a history with him. You've got a history of Jesus showing up in those mundane places of your life, in the kitchen, in the office. Because Jesus wants to be where you are, whatever you're going through, in your pain, in the challenges. Because he says, look at my hands and my feet. See the pain that I've been through. Walking with Jesus means walking with the one who bears the scars. You have a Saviour who says, I've been there. And I wonder sometimes, have we reduced Jesus to a feeling or a memory or a name that we just mention every now and then, or have we actually walked with him this week, this past week? When trouble came, did you philosophize or did you walk with the man who eats broiled fish with his friends? When you reflect back on your life, I wonder who has dictated your path. Has it been you or has it been Jesus? So walking with Jesus means letting him into that locked room of your life, allowing him in to the locked room of your fear, of your success, of your anxiety, of your victories, of every single part of you, of your pain, and saying, Jesus, lead me. And he's here with us this morning. So secondly, do you believe in Jesus? Have you walked with Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? I want to tell you the story of a man, or one story of a man called George Muller, who may be a name that you're familiar with. I had the pleasure of spending a year in Bristol a number of years ago working for an organization called the George Muller Foundation, and came across, obviously, this man, George Muller, who ran orphanages in the 1800s. But they weren't any old orphanages. This was a place run without fundraisers, without appeals, no government support, no way of raising extra money. They lived on faith. George Muller lived on faith. And one morning, the house mother of the orphanage came to him and said, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for breakfast. Muller said, take them down to the dining room and have them sit down. And so in an empty room with empty plates and no food, 300 children sat quietly. Then Muller prayed. Moments later, there was a knock on the door. It was the baker. Mr. Muller, he said, I couldn't sleep last night. I felt God telling me you'd need bread this morning. So I got up early and baked three batches. Can I bring them in? As he unloaded the bread, another knock. This time it was the milkman. His cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. It'll spoil by the time I fix the wheel, he said. Could the children use some fresh milk? That morning, 300 children ate, full bellies and faith strengthened. See, believing in Jesus is actually trusting the one who died and rose again with every aspect of your life. In the passage we read this morning, Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. Then he opened up their minds so that they can understand scripture. The second question is about trust. You can walk with someone physically, like the disciples did, and still not believe in who they truly are. You see, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to fully trust him and allow him to impact every area of your life. How is Jesus impacting your life? How are you trusting him today? And do you believe in a historical Jesus or a living Jesus? Belief means to stop trying to earn your salvation and rest on the fact that everything must be fulfilled. Thirdly, how are you responding to Jesus? This moment is a pivotal moment in history. This coming Thursday, I don't know if you're aware, but it is Ascension Day. And that's what this story is all about. This is what we read here in Luke's Gospel. We have a day dedicated to this very point in history because it's significant. Not only is it significant, it was essential. Because Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again, but he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He didn't die again. He didn't hide away or disappear, but he's present, involved, alive, relevant, and engaged and focused on you and me today. Praise God. And did you know Luke's gospel has a sequel as well? Did you know that? Acts is the sequel to Luke's gospel. Acts is the story of what happened next for the disciples. How the disciples responded to Jesus. But it's also the story of what Jesus did next as well. In and through the disciples, as the gospel message got shared and got spread all across the known world. A little fun fact for you. Luke and Acts, both written by Luke, are the same length. Did you know that? They're the same length because they had to fit it onto a piece of papyrus 31 feet long. Luke was so keen to get as much information down as he could that he used the whole length of papyrus to do it on. I think Luke should have just written smaller. That's my little top tip for Luke. About 2,000 years too late, but there it is. The disciples went, though, didn't they, from hiding to hope. The disciples went from fear to fight. 28 chapters of Acts, full of the disciples and what they did, and what they were, the lengths that they were willing to go to share the good news of Jesus after he had ascended. What changed? Well, this is what changed. They walked, they believed, and now they were ready to respond. The disciples met the risen Jesus and were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power, not a diluted version, that same power that we have in us today. Disciples knew what they had to do. Jesus had told them their mission was clear. From Jerusalem to the world, tell everyone the good news. Spread it far and wide. That same mission is for you and me. Disciples knew how to achieve this. Full of worship, obedience, and joy. I wonder, how are you responding to Jesus? If he is risen, you can't respond with indifference. Reject him, or you manage him, or you dying him. Shall I hold this?
Okay, fantastic, there we go. Brilliant. You can't choose to be lukewarm. That's not an option. You're either deciding to be in with Jesus, to accept him, or you're rejecting him. The ascension means he is reigning. Your response is not sorrow, but your response is mission. It's a call to action. The last slide, please. The disciples went from hiding behind locked doors to living in the temple with joy. What changed? They answered these three questions. These three questions which are relevant to us right now. Have we walked with Jesus? I wonder, do you even know Jesus this morning? I want to encourage you, invite you to stop playing around with religion or stop skirting around the edges and invite Jesus into your life. Touch the scars of the real Savior. A true friend doesn't look from afar but walks with us. Jesus walks with us. If that's you, please make sure you speak to someone afterwards. The second question he asks was, do we believe in Jesus? Let the scriptures open your mind to the necessity of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and trust him with every part of your life. And then thirdly, are we responding to Jesus? I wonder, are we still locked in the upper room of fear, or are you in the temple of worship, clothed with his power? Jesus is not in the grave. He's not hiding in the shadows. He is real. He is living. He is the ascended King. And today, that same Jesus walks through locked doors. The locked doors of our heart, where we experience that fear and that pain. And I want to encourage you to open up your mind and allow him to bless you. Allow him to send you. So what do you need to do? Do you need to start walking with Jesus this morning? Do you need to believe in a risen Savior? Or do you need to respond in worship and praise? Let us pray. Father God, we have walked with you today through your word. Forgive us our doubts. Open our minds to believe. And Lord, send us out as witnesses. Witnesses of your forgiveness. Witnesses of a recognition of a risen and ascended Savior. Amen. I'm going to invite Mark and the band up to sing our closing song.